Welcome to our worship on this second Sunday in Advent, the Sunday of Peace. Welcome to you. Let's be still for a moment as we gather our thoughts, as we prepare to worship our God of Peace. Now let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel and of all the nations, for you have looked favourably on your children and you have redeemed them. You raised up for us a mighty one from the house of David who would bring salvation and peace. May we join with the prophetic words spoken across the generations that inspire us with hope that from among us in your very image are being raised up those who will speak truth, those who even today, like John long ago, are preparing the way of the Lord, seeking to build a kingdom that shines light in the darkness, breaking the dawn upon us in the way of peace. In a time of Advent expectation, let us draw on the inspiration of these stories, God of Peace, and lift up our own praise of all that you have done, all that you are doing now, and all that you have yet to do. May we join with you in the great adventure where things that seemed devoid of life are filled with new hope, whether situations that seem irretrievably divided can be filled with new peace. Whenever we find ourselves silenced, unable to speak up, may we remember Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, and know that a time will come when we can bear witness to your truth and your love. Forgive us for not making the most of those times, for ignoring the opportunities to speak out, for failing to be loving and peaceful people, to which we are called to be. May we know that by your great mercy, we are free to serve you, Prince of Peace, in whose name we offer these our prayers. Amen.
Taken from Malachi chapter 3. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. Luke chapter 1 from verse 68. Zechariah speaking at the birth of his son John. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace.
Well, we've just lit our second Advent candle, the candle of peace. So what do we mean by peace? Is it the absence of fighting, the absence of argument? In the absence of fighting and argument, everything may look quite peaceful and calm, but tensions can still be running high, and at the very least provocation, fighting and argument can break out again. We see this in ceasefires, in amnesties, in family disputes and arguments. There might be no outward sign of fighting, and the scene may look peaceful, but all is not at peace. At peace. What do we mean, and how do we get there? Does peace involve silence? We hear the expression peace and quiet. Does it involve stillness? At this time, particularly during Advent, our scriptures take us back and forth in time over and over again. Predictions of the Old Testament prophets being quoted in the New Testament and related to events that have happened. And we see this in the two readings that we've heard today. Our reading from Malachi and Luke mirror each other, repeating and confirming the message about the coming of the Messiah. a message seen further back in time in some other books of the Old Testament, for example in Isaiah and in the book of Psalms. This repetition back and forth, confirming prophecies, served to verify the covenants, the promises made through the generations from Adam and Abraham right through to David. The promises have no time limit on them, only the requirement that the people stay true to God. And you might think that this repetition, this going back and forth year upon year, would be boring and the significance of the readings would be limited, and in the end you wouldn't find anything new in them. Well, you would be wrong. The scriptures might be the same year in, year out, and they might be repeated at the same time of the year. But there has been a change, and that change is in you. You and your circumstances. You are a year older, with all that experience of the previous year, and including COVID for us. Experiences which may change your perspective as you listen to the familiar readings. And perhaps some of the words this year will have greater significance for you than they did last. Each reading reaffirms the validity of the promises made as we leapfrog over the centuries in time between the Old and the New Testament. And as the truth of the central message becomes clearer, we can trust and we can believe and we can have faith in that truth. And the truth that the child whose birth is being awaited is from the line of David and is indeed the Messiah. That is the truth. Truth and trust go hand in hand. There can be no trust without truth. I'm reading a book called Morality by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. And it's a sort of book you have to read in short bursts, and you have to read it rather than skim it. And I find I have to go back over each section a few times, really, to digest what he's saying. But in it, he says, the world of truth is a world of trust, and vice versa. And in it, there is something larger than individuals seeking their own interest. But, he said, it requires humility. I have to be able to recognise that certain facts are true, even though they challenge my convictions. I have to acknowledge that there is something larger than me. And as we read through the scriptures and hear them, we can be faced with that same dilemma, can't we? Do we have the humility required to put our faith in the scriptures? Can we trust enough to find the peace which will come to us in that world of truth and trust? In my work as a physio, many people came to me, as you can imagine, with painful and injured limbs. And for me to be able to identify which structures had been injured and where the root of the problem was and if I could do anything about it, I had to ask a lot of questions. And then I had to examine the patients. I needed to feel the area, handle the area, so that I could find out which structures had been injured. And a common injury would be neck pain after a whiplash sustained in a car accident. Well, a person's head is heavy, can be around about 12 pounds, sometimes more. And I would have the person lying down on their back and I'd put my hands at the back of their skull and I'd just say, let go. I've got your head. I'm not going to drop it. I would never use the word relax, because relax is usually associated with something rather unpleasant happening immediately afterwards. So I used to use the words, just let it go. I've got your head. Because we're walking around most of the day with our head upright, it's very difficult to relax your head when you're lying down, especially on command and especially if it's painful. And to put your trust in someone to support you, you worry further about damage and more pain. And it would take several minutes for a patient to relax. I would say, just let go. And the patient would say, I have, I am. And the person would still be lying like a rigid board. And as I said, the head is heavy. And holding it, I can tell whether somebody has actually relaxed, because by then I should be holding the whole weight of the person's head. But until that trust is established, I can't find where the problem is, because there are so many muscles guarding the joints, preventing movement and preventing further damage. And when eventually I can move the joint, the neck, I can stand a chance of finding where the problem is and also trying to sort it out. So although I'm talking about a physical problem, can you relate that same process to trying to deal with issues which arise in your daily life or family life? In our discipleship, we are told to trust in God and to rely on him, to take all our prayers to Jesus. Think of the hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus." What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. In Paul's letters to the Philippians, we read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ." Think about the painful neck and relate it to the issues which might be bothering you now. Are you so tense that you're not letting anything or anyone support you? Are you letting God in? Remember what many people used to say to me as a physio. "Yes, I am relaxed." And they were quite clearly not. In our troubles, are we giving God the same sort of answer? "Yes, I do trust God. Yes, I am handing my problems over to God in prayer." But are we? It's not easy. If we are not open to God, then he cannot get in. Try again. Even in the most disruptive and traumatic situations, you might experience trust in the truth you know. Let go. Just as I wanted to feel the weight of someone's head so that I knew they were relaxed and stood a chance of getting to the bottom of their problem, so we need to hand over our worries and our problems to God, knowing he is there. He won't drop us. And as we trust in him, we will feel his presence, that peace which will bring us comfort and relief from whatever is worrying us. At the beginning, I asked if peace meant quiet or stillness. No, it doesn't. It means that oneness as you turn towards God. Peace, it does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise or trouble or hard work. It means to be in the midst of all of those things and still be calm in your heart. Peace and quiet. The quiet is within you.
As we bring our prayers, we want to hold before God the plans and preparations for all the different events and services in our Advent journey as we approach Christmas time. We think particularly of next week's Peninsula Carols, an occasion that normally would gather together 80 to 100 folk in Struntian Village Hall, but this year again will be an online event. It will be live on Zoom at 7 o'clock next Sunday evening. And we hope that many will be able to join in real time at 7 o'clock. But it will also be available to watch thereafter as a recording. Details are at www.aksm.org.uk/carols. And now let's bring to God our prayers for others and for ourselves. Lord God, we thank you for the ministries of those who have gone before us, remembering the great heroes of faith like John the Baptist, Elizabeth and Zechariah's boy, for all the expectation and hope placed on his young shoulders, preparing the way for the one to follow, the cost of which could be and would indeed be so high, we witness with some trepidation. Do we overburden our young with expectations and hopes that may burn them out before they are able to withstand the pressures and stresses? We pray for young people, particularly in a time of great pressure, from climate change to social media, from reduced opportunities abroad to rising costs, that they may be able to maintain hope and a sense of peace about their futures. We give thanks for all the servants of Christ who have given of themselves to build communities of faithful witness in our cities, towns and villages. May we in turn build upon that work, finding new ways, relevant in our own communities, that bring hope and peace, good news and grace. In communities where hope seems removed, where peace is a twisted joke, where future dreams focus more on survival, where women's rights and education are removed, where violence is unchecked, where corruption is rampant. We pray for people to stand firm. We pray for resilience and fortitude, for those seeking to bring restoration and healing, for agencies seeking to bring honesty and truth, and for folk like us, ordinary people, help us to find the courage to speak out, to speak up, naming what we see taking place. All our prayers and the quiet thoughts in each of our hearts we offer to you. And we pray for this season of Advent, that it may be a time of blessing for many, in times of worship and thought and learning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen.
Let us dedicate our offering. Let us pray. God of peace, even as the world still holds its breath, unsure of what the future might bring, we know both your assurance and your expectation that in your way we can have faith and hope. And so we dedicate ourselves once more into that way, committing ourselves as the body of Christ to live into that vision of our purpose for the sake of your kingdom. Use us to benefit that vision, our time and energy, our skills and resources, all in the name of Jesus Christ. And let's join together with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen.
Save, glory to the move of King. Please.
Thank you for joining us in worship today. As we go our separate ways, out of fear and into hope, God has called us. Out of darkness and into light, God has called us. Out of confusion and into peace, God has called us. Today and tomorrow, we walk with God. And may God's blessing be with us all, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for sharing in our worship today. Do have a look at www.akson.org.uk for details of all that's happening around the rest of the season of Advent and into Christmas. God bless you all.